Good morning, good morning. Orisan here from Time to Shine. So today we're going to start with the book of Habakkuk, and we're going to read chapter 1 and see what the Lord instructs us and teaches us. So here we go, verse 1. It says, "The oracle which Habakkuk the prophet saw. How long, O Lord, would I call for help, and you will not hear? I cry out to you, violence. Yet you do not save. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on the wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. Therefore, the law is ignored and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out of perverted." And so here we see from verse 1 to 4 that Habakkuk was frustrated. He wanted God to answer his prayers. He felt like God wasn't listening to him because he was seeing all the destruction, all the violence that the Babylonians had done, and also the Assyrians. And it is believed that Habakkuk existed or lived and prophesied in the time between where the Babylons conquered Nineveh and the Assyrian Empire, and when Babylon conquered Israel, the south side of Israel, and the south kingdom. And so here he's crying out to God for an answer, to hear him. He was pleading to God because of all the corruption and the wickedness and the injustice and all the destruction and violence that exists at that time in Jerusalem. And so we continue, verse 5. It says, "Look among the nations, observe. Be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days you would not believe if you were told. For behold, I am rising up the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous people who march throughout the earth to seize dwelling places which are not theirs. They are dreaded and feared. Their justice and authority originate from themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards and keener than wolves in the evening. Their horsemen come galloping. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle sweeping down to devour. All of them come for violence. Their horde of faces move forward. They collect captives like sand. They mock at kings, and rulers are a laughing matter to them. They laugh at every fortress and heap up rubble to capture it. Then they will sweep through like the wind and pass on, but they will be held guilty, they whose strength is their God." And so here, from verses 5 through 11, the Lord spoke to Habakkuk, and he explained all the things that he was doing and why the Babylonians were conquering, were doing so much harm, and also the Assyrians that were in their land, how the Lord was above Habakkuk's view of what God was doing. The Lord had a very better plan, or the reason why all these things were happening. And Habakkuk could not see that. He was seeing all the evil things that were happening surrounding him. But since God is above all, since God can see from afar, he knows the heart of everyone. He can see what people are calculating in their minds, in their hearts. And so this army that rose against the Jerusalem, the kingdom of Jerusalem. And so verse 12 and on, let's read that. For here Habakkuk answers God or asks questions. Or how do you say, contemplate on what God has told him from verses 5 through 11. So here we go on 12. It says, are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We would not die. You, O Lord, have appointed them to judge, and you, O Rock, have established them to correct. Your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look on weakness with favor. Why do you look for favor on those who deal treacherously? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they? So here he was questioning God, why all these things happening? Why, verse 12, have you, O Lord, appointed them to judge, and you, O Rock, have established them to correct? So he can see that God had a reason why all this were happening to them. It was to correct them. It was to judge them. And God does not approve of evil. Verse 13. And he does not look at wickedness with favor. So God does not allow, he cannot be tempted. And so evil cannot tempt him. So he may allow things, but if it's for our best, it's for our well-being, it's for our correction, it's for our guidance, it's for to get us closer to him. And so that's what's going on here. So let's continue. Verse 14, Habakkuk continues answering to God from his prayer, from what God was telling him on verses 5 through 11. He says, why have you made men like a fish of the sea, like creeping things without a ruler over them? The Chaldeans bring all of them up with a hook, drag them away with their net, and gather them together in their fishing net. Therefore, they rejoice and are glad. Therefore, they offer a sacrifice to their net and burn incense to their fishing net, because through these things their catch is large and their food is plenty. Would they therefore empty their net and continually slay nations without sparing them? Without sparing. So here, verse 14 and on through 17, Habakkuk was questioning, why have you made men like fish of the sea, like creeping things without a ruler over them? So he was questioning why God had allowed all these things, why he made men like fish in the sea, that would say different kinds, different varieties, large, small, different colors. He made us so different. He made everyone so different. And every mind, everybody has a mind that is different from the other person. And verse 5 says, the Chaldeans bring all up of them with a hook. So the Chaldeans, we fish for the for these different kinds of people that the Lord was instructing, that the Lord was judging. And like creeping things without a ruler over them. Verse 14 again. And verse 15, it says, drag them away with their net. So Habakkuk was asking God to take them far, make them to stop. make their hooks or their nets go away, or stop them from dragging their nets. And so, so basically here, it is also believed that the prophet Habakkuk was preaching in between, between the Babylon conquered Nineveh and Assyrian Empire conquered Israel, as I mentioned before. And he was in between two kings, one godly and one that was ungodly. And maybe 25 years in between those two kings, that's when he was preaching. And so God brought judgment to the people of Jerusalem by allowing these invasions to happen, by allowing the Assyrians, by allowing the Babylonians to take them captive to another land, take them captive to Babylon, and to make them go away from their own land. God allowed that for them to be pure, to correct them, to remind them of who God was and what God had brought them from, to reconnect with God. So what I gathered here from on this teaching is that one thing is that the Lord answers us when we pray. And I have a few verses here that will connect with that. And one of them, maybe not the whole verse, but primarily the first part of the verse, and that will be in Isaiah 58:9, where it says, "Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, 'Here I am.'" So when this is the first part of verse 9. So when we call to God, he answers. And that's exactly what Habakkuk did. He was praying to God in the first four verses. And then verse 5 and through 11, he heard God speak to him. And then also in Isaiah 55:24, it says, "It will also come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they're still speaking, I will hear." So the Lord was attentive to hear Habakkuk from what was happening, and says, "While they were still speaking, I will hear." So God had heard Habakkuk before he completed his sentences about the Chaldeans and about the Assyrians, or the how do you call that, the Babylonians and the Assyrians, and so here on verse also Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me and I will answer you. I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know." So God, not only does he answer, but he teaches us deeper things that we don't even know about. He's deeper than ourselves. As he mentions, there's a verse in the Word of God that says, "Who can fathom? Who can fathom God? Who can fathom?" So we don't know how, we know, we understand that God is very deep, he's profound. And he has ways of doing things that we do not understand. Maybe that happening in our time, that happened in the past, that will happen in the future. He has a way of correcting us. He has a way of disciplining us to ask him, to pray to him for guidance, for direction, for things that we have no idea how he would restore us, or how he would restore his children. So I'm going to leave it there for today. I would suggest that you may read chapter 1 of Habakkuk, and also maybe chapter 2 to see what's going to happen tomorrow as we read. So see what the Lord instructs you, teaches you, and counsels you with, as it says in Psalm 32:8. Stay encouraged, stay uplifted, have a wonderful Thursday. Bye-bye.